Support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
You know that health is wealth, and ital is vital. They're not just some rhyming words. It's something that's just got to be heard. Who is responsible for your health? Look in the mirror, it's your very own self. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Jackie with the herb of the field for the healing of the nation. Fruit and vegetable for medication. So much food, so much variation. Sustenance for all generation. It's there in
and good afternoon, good afternoon. And welcome to another program of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program that's designed not only to inform, but to turn your life and health around. I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able, dependable, trusty assistant and producer, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing today, Brother Frank?
I'm good, Doc. I'm good.
last week we talked about a subject that unfortunately many of the things that make up what we call is about lifestyle, and we talk about it and people really don't think about it. Mm-hmm. But we want to spend time as we did last week going into some of the other key modifiable risk factors for chronic disease. Key modifiable. What does that mean, Frank?
Key modifiable. Yeah, you can change it. You can change that practice.
In other words, it don't have to kill you. It don't have to cause you to be sick. Mm-hmm. You have some control. They're modifiable. And today we're going to start out talking about physical inactivity. Now, we talk about physical activity all the time, you know, but today we're going to talk about physical inactivity because it is a modifiable risk factor. And what we've seen is that physical activity is a major risk factor for chronic disease. Why? Because it leads to a series of negative changes in the body.
Mercy.
That all promote disease and illness and death. You know, it's not just the absence of exercise, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me now. It's not just the absence of exercise. It's actually a disturbance in the normal physiologic processes. A disturbance in the normal physiologic processes. And when several of these key, they disrupt several key body systems. And when they come together collectively, they increase chronic conditions. All right. One of the factors is metabolic dysfunction. Metabolic dysfunction. Now, we always talk about disease. Now we're going to talk about processes, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Processes. And we need to understand the processes. Metabolic dysfunction. So when we think about metabolic, we think about the use of calories, burning calories, all right? And so when those calories are not burned up, one of the things that happens is you gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You gain weight because if we can't use it in energy, it's going to be stored in fat. All right? And so the less movement that we have means that the fewer calories is actually burned up. you know? And so it makes it easier to gain weight and lead to obesity, all right? Now, another metabolic dysfunction is something we call insulin resistance. And inactivity affects how the body actually processes fat and sugar. And it leads to insulin resistance, which increases the risk of diabetes and metabolic syndrome. Now, we know about diabetes, but many of you don't know about metabolic syndrome. But metabolic syndrome has been around a long time. It's where you have diabetes, you have hypertension, you have hyperlipidemias and hypercholesterolemias. It leads to heart disease and strokes. All right. Metabolic, insulin resistance. And what I learned from my dear departed friend is that this insulin resistance actually is present 10 to 12 years before there's a change in blood sugar. So we look at change in blood sugar and say, well, this is, you have pre-diabetes, you got diabetes, but before you get the pre-diabetes and the diabetes, you got insulin resistance, and the insulin resistance is causing the strokes. Mm-hmm. It's causing the heart attack. That's why 50% or more of people who have a heart attack, their first symptom is dead. It's death. They wake up dead, Brother Frank. Mm-hmm. You know, they 50% over 50%, and check it out. You know, it sounds crazy, but 50%, their first symptom is sudden death. All right. Now, another thing that happens is you get a poor lipid profile, meaning that it can suppress a specific enzyme. It's called lipoprotein lipase. And when you hear lipase, you think of lipids, you think of fat. All right. Mm-hmm. And this enzyme helps to break down the fat. All right. And if it's suppressed, then you're not going to get as much of the fat broken down, and you're going to get all this unhealthy fat in the blood. And one of the things that it's going to do, it's going to lead to triglycerides, but it's also going to lead to elevation in cholesterol. And so all of this comes from physical inactivity. All right. So those are the metabolic. Now, we also have the cardiovascular, the blood vessels, the heart, you know, and physical inactivity leads to the heart being weak. You know, the heart is a muscle, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't exercise your muscles, what's going to happen?
They're going to get weak.
They're going to get weak. And so that's what happens with physical activity. In addition to that, physical activity helps to promote circulation. You know, as you walk, the muscles contract, they squeeze the blood vessels and help to move the blood back through the system. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that, you get this poor blood circulation. Mm. And that in itself is an independent risk factor for hypertension or high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's not only weakening the heart, it's causing the pressure to go up. And when the pressure goes up, that also leads to heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a major one. We talk about it all the time. It increases inflammation. It increases inflammation. We often talk about inflammation associated with stress. We talk about inflammation associated with eating certain foods like animal fat and protein and refined foods and sugars. But here, inactivity increases inflammation. It also increases oxidative stress. Now, the best way to explain oxidative stress is to cut an apple. Mm-hmm. And you see the brown, you know, that's part of the oxidative process. And oxidative stress, which contributes to cardiovascular disease, like heart attacks, strokes. It even contributes to some cancers. Mm-hmm. So inactivity can actually increase cancer. So now we know that if you're not active, it's going to affect your musculoskeletal system. All right. And what happens is you get a loss of muscle strength and endurance. The muscles begin to atrophy. All right. If they're not used, it's like if you just go and lay in the bed for 3 days, Brother Frank, mm-hmm. when you get up, you're going to be weak. All right. And you may notice that even then that you're getting a degree of muscle atrophy or wasting of the muscles just by laying it. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You just chose. I'm gonna chill for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Muscles gonna weaken. But in addition to that, your bones get weak because one of the things that causes the bones to get stronger. Is use. When you walk, we call it weight-bearing activity.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, it stimulates the body says, look, we need to put more strength in these bones because this boy, he ain't going to stop walking. And so the minerals content of the bone is increased. But when you don't walk, it's decreased and you get the osteoporosis. And also it leads to weakness and falling. And one of the things that's really bad is when as people get older, you notice I didn't say older. When they get older, then what happens is they oftentimes they become less active. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always because they have to be less active. It's just they're not working every day. They're not, you know, running around behind the kids, you know. They now have a little bit more money, so they got a maid to do the housework. And so they get physically inactive. And when that happens, the muscles get weak, the bones get weak. And it impairs the immune system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It impairs the immune system. And we know, or we should know, because we've talked about it enough time, that the immune system is associated with the inflammation. So that regular physical activity has a positive anti-inflammatory effect. So without it, the immune system doesn't work as well, and you get a build up of inflammation in the body, and we now know that inflammation is associated with so many diseases. I'm going to list a whole bunch of diseases here, and trust me, inflammation is associated with each and every one of them. Mm. All right, cardiovascular disease. We already talked about that. There are a number of different kinds of cardiovascular disease. The one that we think about the most is coronary or atherosclerotic heart disease, where the arteries block up and folk just die. But also we have congestive heart failure. You know, we have heart attacks. We have strokes. We have hypertension. All of these are in the cardiovascular network. And then in the metabolic, we talked about diabetes. We talked about obesity. We talked about metabolic syndrome. Those are all metabolic things associated with the burning of energy. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's sugar or fat. And then there are certain cancers and even cancers of the colon, the breast, the uterus, and other cancers are associated with physical inactivity.
What? You know? Man.
Physical inactivity. Mm. And then the osteoporosis, the joint stiffening, the chronic back pain, all of this is also part of that musculoskeletal conditions that is associated with physical inactivity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was going to be a shocker to a lot of people. Dementia.
Wow.
Including Alzheimer's disease.
Yes, yes.
Depression and anxiety. These neurologic or mental health issues are associated with inactivity. You know, matter of fact, I've said several times on this program, one of the things that got me to leave surgery and go into doing this holistic practice was I talked to a friend of mine out at NIH, Dr. Ernie Plotter, and I said, Ernie, I think God wants me to leave surgery, but everybody say I'm crazy. What do you think? And he started talking about different things, asked me questions, and then he said, you know, Ted, I'm on a lot of boards, and one of them is a nursing home, and they put the clients on leashes. And I got a little upset when he said that. He mm-hmm. said, put them on leashes so they could get some physical activity because they were stubborn. They didn't want to walk. And when they got them up to 5 miles a day, their memories came back. So just like inactivity can lead to Alzheimer's, dementia, depression, anxiety, physical activity can help to reverse those things. And yes. So we need to recognize that. The number here is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. So, you know, they've looked at it from a research perspective, and they found that, in fact, physical activity is considered one of the leading global risk factors for premature death. And it's actually comparable with smoking and hypertension on its impact on public health. And so physical inactivity is a major thing. We just think we just sit in our comfortable chair, just cooling it, you know. You know, I deserve this. I worked all my life, you know. And I visited one of my buddies the other day, about 2 weeks ago, and we took this picture. I have to show it to you, Frank. The brother is 102 years old.
Wow.
Will be 103 in January, the 1st of January, too. And the beauty is, I remember when I called him every day, and we used to talk almost every day, and it didn't hit me that he was some 20, 21 years older than I was. Oftentimes, I catch him, he was out walking. He was walking every day. He was out there getting his walk in, all right? So I'm not saying that's the only factor that led to him being 102, but that's certainly a factor that we need to recognize, you know. So, you know, when we look at activity, physical activity, we know that there are different kinds of physical activity. One is aerobic or cardio. And that's where you're steadily moving, you know. As much as I like basketball is not really considered an aerobic activity because you're running and stopping and, you know, you're spending a lot of energy, but it's not aerobic, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can look at the intensity of the exercise. If it's moderate intensity, they say you need to exercise at least 150 minutes a week. That's at least 30 minutes 5 days a week. And this could be brisk walking. It could be water aerobics. It could be gardening. It could be riding a bike at less than 10 miles an hour. You know, this is moderate physical activity. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go to our phones. Just call her. You're on the line.
Is that me?
That's you.
Yes, sir. Dr. Watkins, I really appreciate your program and your sidekick, Brother Frank. You all provided great information. I'd like to draw your attention to a national bestseller. It's called Ancient Remedies, Secrets to Healing with Herbs, Essential Oils, CBD, and the Most Powerful Natural Medicine in History by Dr. Josh AXE, Dr. Josh Axe. Author of Keto Diet. I'd like to get your assessment of CBD balm. You might have heard of it under the name, under the supplier called Charlotte's Web. Dr. X CBD? Has an article.
CBD?
Yes, sir. CBD.
Yes. CBD, that's a form of marijuana. Yeah, no, I'm familiar with that. But today talking about we're talking about physical inactivity. I'll be glad to talk about that on another day. I've used it with some of my patients, and I'll be more than happy to share that with you. But we have so much to cover in this topic. We don't want to get sidetracked. I'm actually going to have to leave earlier, so I want to try to get as much done as I can. But thank you so much. Call us back, and Frank will put that down, and we'll at a future date cover it, and we'll try to let you know in advance. The number is 202-588.
Thank you very much, Dr.
0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Hi. I want you to stay on the topic of physical activity, too, because it's really, I know how important it is. And at the tail end of your show last week, you mentioned 90 minutes every day, which sounded great. It sounded like something we don't hear too much. But honestly, I wanted to call you because the young lady who talked to you last week who had stage 4 kidney disease or kidney cancer, she had said something that you didn't get a chance to address. She had said she couldn't eat anything. And I know that that probably meant that she could not eat what she wanted to eat. But my problem was I was trying to do a vegan diet and ended up with an 8-millimeter kidney stone. And when I looked at the things that could lead to kidney stones, I looked at a long list from one of the universities. It was the things that I was eating trying to be vegan. I could eat other things. There's certainly a list of things that have low oxalates in them, but spinach. I was eating a lot of spinach. Spinach is high in oxalates. I was eating beans. Beans are high in oxalates. I was eating nuts and seeds. Those are high in oxalates. And so, I've continued to do my research online to try to understand what I could eat. But if you could talk a little bit about the oxalates at some point, maybe you can't do it this year.
Yeah, we will do that. And some people are predisposed to kidney stones, and there are things that we can do. Part of it is the acid-base balance of the body. And there are things that you can do to adjust that and so that you are able to eat a little more foods. I can understand. We all love to eat, and especially it's bad when we can't eat good foods. But there are probably things that we can do to help with that. So make sure you make a note of that also, Frank. And let's come and deal with that. Once again, the number is 202-588-0893. Let's go back to the phones. Just call her. You're on the line.
I think that's it, Doc.
Is that it? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we talked about moderate exercise. Is that 150 minutes a week? But if you do vigorous exercise, you know, that's you don't have to do as much. You can actually do half of that and do 75 minutes or like 25 minutes 3 days a week for the vigorous exercise. That includes the running, the swimming laps, vigorous dancing, cycling at greater than 10 miles an hour, you know, and jumping rope. All of those are aerobic exercises. And one of the things we're going to talk a little bit about how you know that you are where you are. But one of the other kinds of exercises that's very important, and Frank, I did a lot of aerobic exercises growing up, but I did not do a lot of muscle strengthening kinds of activities. You know, you know, those include lifting weights, doing resistance bands, push-ups, sit-ups, you know, heavy gardening, yoga, Pilates. These are things that build up the muscles, resistance, you know, and maybe that's why they call me weenie built. You know, but you need to do that two or more days a week, you know, to build those muscles. It makes a big, big difference. You know, one of the things I found out was that people who had low back pain, often it was due to the fact that their stomach muscles were weak, you know? Mm-hmm. And they had to build their stomach muscles, they build those abs in order to strengthen their back. Doesn't seem like it makes sense, but it's the truth. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Give us a call with questions or comments. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your amazing, informative program. Can you say the name of this syndrome that you're talking about again, please?
Which syndrome is that?
It's the one that you've been talking about the whole program, where it has all these
physical inactivity.
Oh, I thought there was
physical inactivity, lack of exercise.
So it doesn't.
That's what we're talking about.
In other words. Okay, I understand that. How does a patient talk to their doctor and ask them about how to determine if they have this?
So it's not a disease. It's a risk factor for disease. In other words, if you don't exercise on a regular basis, both aerobic and resistance, you know, musculoskeletal kind of exercises, it will predispose you to various diseases, you know.
Yes, I understand that. What I'm trying to ask you is, what specific tests should the doctor perform in order to determine if someone has this syndrome?
Well, first the doctor has to ask you a few questions. How often are you exercising? How long do you exercise? What kind of exercises are you doing? Are you walking? Are you swimming? Are you riding a bicycle? Are you doing push-ups, sit-ups? So that's the first thing. And then if the doctor wants to determine your state he can test you for muscle strength. He can do a stress test and test. He can just look at you and see if you have flab, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's something that all doctors and probably most people know what to do, you know, to evaluate. And you know if you're walking or if you're not walking, if you're exercising, if you're not exercising. Like I have a lady.
Okay.
She's in her 80s. And she has asthma, she has atrial fibrillation, she has all kinds of things. But that lady exercises four or five times a week. and different exercise. She does Pilates. She does yoga. she does aerobics. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm just so amazed at her. And she just keeps getting up. So, yeah, we need to do. And one of the simple exercises is gardening so that you can then get good foods also. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, are you on the line?
Good afternoon, Dr. Watson. My name is Vanessa, and I just want to co-sign, and I'm so happy that you're talking about this today. 2019, my sciatica nerve flared up, and even though I had been walking, but, you know, I really hadn't been doing, I feel like, a lot of tone-up exercises and all that, and I was 65 years old. So first I went to an orthopedic surgeon who, first I could tell he couldn't read my x-rays, and the next thing he told me was that they needed to, you know, cut my back and put some supporting thing in there. And when I asked him, you know, even though I'm like social studies, you know, education, I asked him, does bones fuse back together? He looked me straight in my face and told me yes. So that told me that, you know, to me that he was a hack. So I started physical therapy, and even though it didn't seem like I was feeling, you know, I was doing better, I took note of the exercises that they were having me do, and I figured out, you know, that where, you know, they came from. They'd have different ones. It could be yoga related or, you know, something of that nature. So in short, I kept exercising. I added yoga and some other activities to it, and I added a massage therapist. And I would say by 2 years later, well, let me back up to say that I would use a cane going to the doctor. So 2 years passed, and I was doing better because all my primary care said was, oh, well, just take it easy, right? Don't go up here and all this, right? You know, so when I got better, I went there without a cane. She was like, well, where's your cane? And I even forgot I was using a cane, so I kind of looked at her like kind of where she's been, but, you know, we don't see them that regularly. But, you know, I say it to say, keep moving. You know, it may not be for everybody,
yes,
but keep moving. See what your mother, what your mind is telling you. Because I could kick one whole leg up, you know, and he was telling me he wanted to cut my back, you know, and it was going to be like cut it with a saw, mm-hmm. you know, right? So I'm added weight training to my regimen. I do weight training twice a week, bioaerobic at least twice a week, walk every other day, and with Prince George's County Parks, seniors can use any exercise facility free. All you have to do is register.
Yes.
Come on now.
How old are you?
I am 71, praise God.
Yeah, praise God.
and you're better than when you were 65.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, better than when I was 65. I thought I wasn't going to be able to attend my daughter's graduation because I was going to have to walk up that hill at Howard. But that year, COVID came in, so they had graduations at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so and you make a number of points. One of the points is that, we like doctors, and we like to utilize our doctors, but it doesn't stop you from thinking. It doesn't stop you from reading.
Yep.
It doesn't stop you from exploring and getting second opinions if necessary. And so I just want to congratulate you on what you did and the importance of being persistent.
Yes.
Being persistent. 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Persistent. And congratulations. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'll keep listening to you. You all have a good day.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Do we have another caller on?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Watkins and Frank. This is your patient, Carolyn. First, I want to congratulate the previous caller. Thank you for this topic by exercising. This is something I've been doing for a while, just trying to find that consistency between walking and swimming. I heard you mention about 150 minutes, and I hear about 300 minutes. So I'm just trying to get that balance, trying to figure out which is the right balance for me.
So the 150 minutes is considered moderate. The 300, if you want to really get well, the literature says, you want to get it up to 300. So I recommend even more than that. I recommend 150 a day for 90 days, you know.
Okay.
Because people come in, they're sick, they got kidney failure, they got hypertension, they got heart disease, they got cancer. I said, you got to get out there and exercise, you know. But go ahead. I didn't want to disturb you.
No, that's right. Well, thank you. I think you discussed that with me. I've seen you. The other thing is with walking, if you can't get out there, will video, a walking video suffice? If you can't get outside with a video, like a half hour video of for walking suffice versus going outside, walking in the street?
You get you a treadmill or a bicycle, recumbent bike, 90 minutes a day, 90 minutes a day.
And it doesn't have to all be at once.
That's right. And
if you haven't been exercising on a regular basis, don't try to do 90 minutes initially.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Rome was not built in a day. Gradually build up. The key is being consistent.
Right.
All right.
Right.
You need to find physicians who are familiar with exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if your doc got a big belly.
He told on himself.
He told on himself. But we need to on a regular basis get that exercise in and build up. And swimming is excellent. But you need to do both. You need to swim and you need to put those feet on the ground. Nathan Prinigan says, and he was the first one that I know that started in modern time showing that heart disease could be reversed. He says you have to have your feet on the ground in order to reverse heart disease, the number one killer in this country.
All right. Thank you so much.
The number, once again, is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, sir. Dr. Watkins?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Dean. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dean. This is an exercise man. Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to make some suggestions, especially for people who have been sedentary or have been in bed and might even hear you on the phone, but if they're not doing anything, they haven't done anything for a while, they develop a fear of not getting out. But people who have been sitting around for a while, what I would suggest they do is to get a recording, get a DVD or something like that offline and do it. But do it. You won't be able to do everything perfectly. That's the thing about it. You modify everything, you know, or modify the things, you know, that's being demonstrated, you know, on the screen. But the thing is, you know, I got this sign that says, always find time for things that make you feel happy to be alive. So when you've been sitting around for a while, you got this war going on with you that prevents you, you know, from getting started. So you have to do things that make you feel happy. You have to do things that say, well, okay, well, if I do that,
I'm going
to automatically feel better.
Not only just make you happy, feel happy, but make you feel better, you know, because you may not be happy initially.
Right. But if you do things for yourself, you know, especially getting started, that makes you happy. That makes you feel like, you know, you've
That's
done
right.
something worthwhile for the day for yourself. And that's
for yourself. We do it for everybody else. But
yeah.
the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
That's all
I'm
saying.
And one of the things, Dean, that I tell my patients to do is just practice standing up.
Yeah. Right.
Standing up
right.
from a chair without using your hands.
Right.
And if you
right.
need to put a walker in front of you and just try standing up. And initially, I guarantee most people on the call now can't just stand up without pushing up with their arms. And the reason
right,
is because
right.
they haven't been doing it. And if you don't
right.
use it, you're going to lose it. But if you can't stand, you can't really walk efficiently. And so
yeah.
that's the first thing I have them do. And if they can't do that, I have them sit down and raise your knee.
Right.
And then
there you
stretch
go.
Your leg out.
Try to raise your knee above your waist.
Yes. See, just simple things. Get started.
Right.
And don't
right.
stop. That's the critical thing.
That's it.
Get started and don't stop.
That's it.
And drink water.
All right.
Drink water.
And drink, hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So and you know, it won't happen overnight, but it'll happen.
Absolutely.
Right.
But I want to say one more thing. One more thing.
Yes, sir.
The
yes,
doctors.
Sir.
I'm 75 years old, and I had a football accident. You know, when I was in high school, it took my kneecap out, and some of the cartilage. You know, so the older mm-hmm. I get, you know, the more I have to pay attention of exercising. You know, I can't run like I used to. You know, and sometimes I can't walk as fast as I want to. But
mm-hmm.
some of that is because I have taken maybe two or three breaks, you know, for my exercises or something like that. So I developed, you know, this psychosis, you know, that I have to force myself to do it. And that's what everybody has to do. Just force yourself to do it a little bit.
Yeah.
And once
yep.
you do it, you know, everything starts to come back to somewhere near normal. You know, so
gotta look in the mirror and you gotta keep looking until you see somebody worth changing for. And
yeah.
once you do that, then you're good to go.
Right.
And saying that I got to go. I'm leaving you in good hands with my brother Frank, and he's going to take it all to the home. It's all
there
yours,
you
brother Frank.
All right,
ahead,
thank you,
Frank.
Doc.
See you later. Both of you guys, take care.
Thank
all
you,
right,
Dean.
Thank you, Dean. Good hearing from you.
Yes, sir. Doc was talking about all the systems, all of our bodily systems are affected by inability to exercise. This stubbornness, this lack of exercise, this lack of movement affects everything. Eyesight, a cognitive ability, kidneys, cardiovascular, everything is affected. It's the body is one unit, and everything that affects it or doesn't affect it, it has the ability to either decrease our health or increase it. So, To Your Health focuses on ways to save you money, increase your quality of life by avoiding or minimizing sickness and disease, or decrease your dependence on what appears to be an overwhelming or overwhelmed failing healthcare system. All of our broadcasts instruct you how to do that, especially those of the last couple of months. Only the ignorant blind and the paid to be blind corporate media couldn't see that, the ineptness of the profit-driven insurance company-led mess of a U.S. healthcare system. Doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals are overworked and underpaid. This affects the patient care. So we as patients are tremendously affected by this system. I heard a video just last night, and these were Caucasian healthcare, not healthcare, but patients around the country, especially in the South and the Midwest, that were affected by the increases in the ACA and other healthcare insurance. Some said it was 160% the increase. And the young folk couldn't pay that. So they're going without healthcare system, without health insurance. They can't pay it. And they were crying. They were crying. Imagine how we as minorities are affected. These broadcasts show you how to take charge of your own healthcare system, your own healthcare, and how to decrease your dependence on this system, which to some degree or another doesn't work. They do something. I met a good doctor today. But you want to decrease medications. You want to increase healthy food. You want to increase healthy living, period. And we can do it. We can do it. So for sure, this healthcare system fails us, for sure. Do we have another caller? No. Okay. Thank you. So we want to thank Dr. Watkins for bringing up this subject and presenting it thoroughly. We want to thank our engineers, Mike Nasella, and the current one is Kalia Chapman, Mayuki Williams, acting general manager, and Katia Stitt, program director. I got to contact her as well. And all of our other tireless WPFW staff, programmers, volunteers, and our loyal listeners. Thank you, Maka B, for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that is To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Listen in next Monday at 2 p.m. for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health. You can listen to a recording of this and other broadcasts of To Your Health by going to wpfwfm.org www.thedrwatkins.com/archives. Search on the shows for To Your Health and click the one that you want. Thank you so much. Thank you, callers. Thank you, Dean. And thank you to other informative callers.
Vital is vital. You gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth. Vital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Me say prevention is better than cure. You can't rely on the system no more. Say all over the West, the healthcare in a mess. Especially for the poor, that's for sure. Eat good, exercise and try your best. My business, the doctor less and less. In all your own health, you have to invest. It's in the best of your interest, cause health is wealth. Vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else.
Support for To Your Health comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
Thursday, November 28th, WPFW honors the National Day of Mourning, commemorates the birthday of Jimi Hendrix, and offers music centering gratitude from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. Bushmeat opens the day with a birthday tribute to Jimi Hendrix. At noon, WPFW takes you once again live to the annual United American Indians of New England rally in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. Finally, James Funk offers music filled with gratitude from 3 until 7 p.m. That's all here on WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
This is a special invitation, a call for entries to We the 92%, an anthology of Black women's documenting this time. Your essays, poetry, prayers of resistance, open letters, and more, preserving our voices, our truths, and our testimony in a time when our history is being rewritten, challenged, and erased, are being accepted. Submission deadline is midnight, December 20th. Details at wethe92.com.
In November of 2015, Pan-African Community Action, also known as PACA, was born. Born from the struggle to win justice for youth educator Alonzo Smith, who was killed by special police in the Marbury Plaza apartment complex in Southeast D.C. On Saturday, November 22nd, PACA will commemorate its 10th anniversary with an evening of political education, cultural performances, and community building. Since its beginnings, PACA has popularized the idea of community control over police in D.C., led the popular education program, the Asada Shakur Study Group, and has positioned itself to launch the People's Pan-African Wellness Front to establish community control over healthcare in D.C. PACA invites you to celebrate this decade milestone Saturday, November 22nd, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Dar al-Hurriya Palestine House of Freedom, 650 Pennsylvania Avenue, Southeast, that will feature a performance by Son of Nun. Information and registration are at pacaturns10.eventbrite.com. That's P-A-C-A, turns the number 10, eventbrite.com. WPFW is your station for jazz and justice, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Federal law requires the government to process asylum seekers who arrive at ports of entry within a country. Asylum seekers are individuals who have left their home country and are requesting protection from serious harm but have not yet been legally recognized as refugees in another country. Despite the federal law, however, President Trump's first administration began a policy in 2018 known as metering, in which border agents simply turned back potential asylum seekers to Mexico before they could enter the United States. The Supreme Court announced today that it will review this controversial immigration policy, which will be the first major immigration policy case of the president's second term. This announcement comes as at least 130 people were arrested in Charlotte, North Carolina over the weekend in the latest targeted immigration blitz orchestrated by Customs and Border Protection and the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS. DHS, which claims that those arrested had criminal records, have called this latest immigration operation Charlotte's Web, which has struck a nerve with Martha White, the granddaughter of E.B. White, who authored the popular fun-loving children's book Charlotte's Web. Miss White said her grandfather believed in the rule of law and due process and certainly did not believe in masked men in unmarked cars raiding people's homes and workplaces without IDs or summons. Last month, Hurricane Melissa made landfall as a Category 5 storm, causing catastrophic damage across several Caribbean islands like Jamaica, Cuba, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti. Melissa, which is one of the strongest Atlantic storms in recorded history, killed at least 43 people in Haiti, and more than a dozen others remain missing. Over the weekend, a mass public funeral was held for 18 people in Périgueux, a coastal town in Haiti. Many of the coffins were small, as the town lost at least 10 of its children. In addition to intense grief, some residents expressed anger and frustration, saying that those deaths could have been prevented with better planning and infrastructure. A protest scheduled for today is demanding a quicker response and more aid from Haiti's government. It's estimated that 1.25 million people across Haiti have been affected by Melissa, with 360,000 of them urgently needing food. To that end, the World Food Program has distributed food to more than 40,000 people in Périgueux and expects to soon issue cash transfers to those affected by the storm. The family of Reverend Jesse Jackson has given an update on the civil rights leader's health, given the spread of false information. It was recently reported that Jackson was on life support after being admitted to the hospital last week. However, his family says that is incorrect. It is true that 84-year-old Jackson is hospitalized in Chicago, but his family says he is breathing without the assistance of machines and is in stable condition. Jackson's son Youssef said his father is even continuing his activism from inside the hospital, calling for 2,000 churches to prepare 2,000 baskets of food to prevent malnutrition during the holiday season. Reverend Jackson was admitted to the hospital last Wednesday under observation for progressive supranuclear palsy, or PSP. PSP is a rare neurological disorder that affects body movements, walking and balance, and eye movements. It has similar symptoms to Parkinson's disease. Notably, in 2017, Reverend Jackson announced that he had been diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2015, but his diagnosis was actually confirmed to be PSP in April of last year. To the D.C. area. Finally, that's a word that several museums are saying as all of the Smithsonian's museums have reopened today, following the longest U.S. government shutdown on record, which was 43 days to be exact. While the shutdown began on October 1st, Smithsonian facilities closed almost 2 weeks later on October 12th. Museums that are reopening today include the National Museum of African American History and Culture, the National Museum of African Art, the National Museum of Asian Art, the National Museum of Natural History, National Portrait Gallery, the Smithsonian American Art Museum, and Smithsonian Gardens. In today's weather, it's currently about 51 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe, and thank you for listening.